Actor and director Orson Welles was just 26 years old in 1941 when he wrote and directed his first film, Citizen Kane. A dark, cinematically daring biopic in which Welles also starred, Citizen Kane is considered by many critics to be the greatest film ever made. To this day, 25 years after his death, Orson Welles remains a Hollywood icon. But according to a new book about Welles by his firstborn daughter, there was one role he played inadequately. Preoccupied by his own genius, Welles could not be an ordinary, attentive father. Orson Welles' daughter, Christopher Welles Feder, once asked her father about her unusual first name. He replied, "Your name has a marvelous ring to it. You're the only girl in the world who's named Christopher." That's one of the memories that Chris Welles Feder shares in her book, In My Father's Shadow. Although she has a career as a writer, Feder says she had to wait many years before writing about her father.
"Because he's such a complicated man, and we had a very uncommon relationship, and I needed to gain some perspective in order to be able to really do justice to my subject. So this is not really a book I could have written when I was younger. You know, he died in 1985, so that's quite a few years ago, and while he was alive, I was mainly trying to establish a more normal relationship with him and to be more a part of his everyday life. And, of course, that wasn't really possible because he was a man who lived for his work and he didn't really have time for personal relationships. I didn't understand this while he was alive."
As a child, Chris Welles Feder was awed by her father, wondering where she fit in his life. They rarely lived under the same roof. She says there were many moments of disappointment, as when her father would promise to send a car to pick her up so they could have lunch together. It would never arrive. But she says she also had wonderful times with her dad.
"The times that I traveled with my father in Europe when I was a schoolgirl, those were, I think, our dearest moments together. And they had a tremendous impact on me. They really influenced me in many ways. My father was delighted to discover that I was very interested in art. So he loved to take me around to all the museums and share with me his favorite artists and works of art. And these were just golden moments for me."
Chris Feder says that she wrote her book to reveal the true person behind the icon that her father became. Arrogant and blustering on the stage and screen, he was a man of great principle in his personal life, she says.
"And he fought for the causes he believed in. And I don't think this is generally known about him, how politically involved he was, how lacking in prejudice he was, and how hard he fought for causes that he believed in, such as promoting African-American culture at a time when America was still very racist."
Chris Welles Feder agrees with other Orson Welles biographers that her father was an artistic genius who was years ahead of his time.
"In the United States, only a small portion of his work is ever shown. Everyone knows Citizen Kane, everyone knows The Magnificent Ambersons, and perhaps Touch of Evil and The Lady from Shanghai. But the films that he made in Europe, which are quite extraordinary, beginning with Chimes at Midnight, which he considered his masterpiece, these films are almost never shown in the United States. He only made really art films. I also think F for Fake, his film essay, is an amazing film and a very unusual film. And with this film, he was hoping to establish a new type of movie, an essay, not really a documentary, but more a personal essay. And it was very disappointing to him when F for Fake first came out. Nobody understood what it was. That was his dilemma. He was just years and years ahead of himself."
It was in his later life, Feder says, that Orson Welles endured the toughest times of his career.
"It was almost impossible for him at that point to find financial backing for his many projects. You know, he'd lived in Europe for much of his middle years, and then he returned to the United States in the hope that he could work in television. He saw that as a great new medium for him. But again, what he was doing in television was so far ahead of itself that nobody understood it, and so that never came to pass. So he was reduced to doing things like voiceovers, narrating other people's documentaries, appearing on talk shows, commercials, all of these things he did to keep himself going. But he couldn't do what he most loved, which was to make a movie.
In spite of these disappointments, Fetter says, her father never lost his positive outlook.
He had a very upbeat, hopeful, optimistic personality, especially when he was in his vigorous 20s and 30s and very much at the top of his game. Even when I knew him later on as an old man, when he had to deal with ill health, a lot of people don't realize how ill he was towards the end of his life. And he had to deal with all the disappointments. He never became bitter. He retained his hopeful nature and hoped that tomorrow would be better. He always would say, yes, don't feel sorry for me because they're going to love me when I'm dead.
And that's what's happened. Decades after his death in 1985 at the age of 70, Wells is still remembered and his works revered. Chris Fetter says she's proud of her father and hopes her book can inspire a younger generation to explore Orson Welles' artistic legacy. For Faiza El Masri, I'm Rob Sivak in Washington.